Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Ayin in Chulin. We're in Samach Tes, and we're back on Samach Tes and Aleph. Okay, and we recently started the fourth parak of Chulin, and the topic of the fourth parak is basically a fetus inside of its mother. So a fetus inside of its mother is Nita Ali De Shechita Simo, when you shech the mother. So the Shechita works not only for the mother, but for all the contents within the mother. So if there's a fetus inside, so that fetus becomes mutter as well, and you're allowed to eat the fetus. And shechita, you don't have to shech the fetus. And I mentioned yesterday, you take it to its logical conclusion. Let's say you after you shech the mother, so then you actually bring the fetus outside, and the fetus is alive, and it grows up, and it becomes now an animal, right, full fledged animal still. Ben paku, it was inside during the mother shechita of the mother, and so therefore does not require a shechita itself. The this animal midar rice doesn't require shechita. As mentioned yesterday, midar abana would require shechita, but that's only for issues of mara sign. It just doesn't look right. You're going to eat an animal before shechting it. But mina Torah, it's fine. It doesn't require shechita. The Gemara yesterday was discussing in detail the halacha of what if it extends one of its limbs out prior to the shechita. So So for sure that limb is not actually inside of the mother during the shechita is not going to be mutter through the shechita. That we know for sure. What if it sticks out a limb and retracts and brings a limb back inside? So that's subject to a machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav is of the opinion that it doesn't matter. Once that limb comes outside, it has a din trefa, right? And we're using the word trefa over here not literally. The limb is not. There's no internal blemish, there's no internal puncture of the organ. It just simply means that it has a status. It now has the status of being a trefa, and so therefore, even after it comes back in again, the arm is still going to be usher. That's the opinion of Rav. Rav Yochanan says that it does not have a din trefa, and we discussed at length yesterday the machlokus between Rav and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara presented a slightly different version, variation in terms of how to say it. The Gemara in the bottom of Samaches Amud Beis said the question is whether yesh leida le'ivarim or ein leida le'ivarim, a slightly different format in terms of how to say it. And that is what we were covering yesterday. We were then going into a series of questions regarding the permissibility of the Uber under some unusual circumstances. The last thing we were dealing with yesterday was what if the hand was extended, the hand of the fetus was extended in the middle of shechita. So you shechted one siman, and then as you're about to shech the other siman, the hand pops out. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, for sure, we're not talking about the permissibility. It's not going to be permissible, the hand that comes out, because it didn't receive a proper shechita via its mother. The only issue is going to be, is it going to be a nevela, that hand that came out, because the hand that came out before, prior to the shechita.
Rabbi Shulman, what is ben pakua
literally? Pakua means to break forth. Right. Ben pakua. Bar Rav Yirmiyah, we're on Samach Tes Amud Beis, and we're starting now with the question of Rav Yirmiyah. It's four lines before the lines become wide. And now, Ma'u Lachush Lazaro. Okay, what about its child? Whose child? Okay, so we are now dealing with a fetus where, prior to the shechita of its mother, the fetus stuck out a limb. Okay, so that limb now has a din trefa. And let's say that we collect the fetus and we raise the fetus in our own backyard. And now the fetus is alive and well. Now, this animal, it's a strange creature, okay? First of all, it was in utero while the mother was shechted, and one of the limbs were protruding while the mother was shechted, but that's not why it's strange. It's a strange creature because most of the animal you're allowed to eat. Right. Only the limb, one of the limbs of the animal, whichever one came out, is going to be prohibited. So here you have an animal which is kind of a hybrid of something you're allowed to eat, which is the majority of the animal, and the limb that you're not allowed to eat. Okay. So parts of it are mutter, parts of it are usser. Okay. Now let's move on to the next generation. This animal fathers another baby. And so now, how do we view it? Now there is a general question, which we're going to get to a little bit later on in the Masechta, meaning, in other words, the overarching issue of, do we at all concern ourselves with the paternity of a calf, meaning we know that the mother obviously is going to play an important role in terms of a calf and establishing what it is, what its type. Are we concerned at all with its paternity? Kisu Hadam, right? I think this becomes a big issue over there. because obviously in order for an animal to require kisui adam, you need a behema and a chaya. What if it's like a cross between a behema and a chaya? Okay. No, I'm sorry, it comes up in Osav Esbeno. All right, so about a week from now, we're going to discuss this in a different context. But right now, we're discussing in the context of, so here you have an animal, part of his mutter, part of the leg of it is aser, and now it fathers a child. So what are we going to say about the child? Is it going to walk around with the same with the same complexion as status as the father? So the verse says, hey, chidami. So let's see if we can, first of all, sharpen the question. So let's say, for example, that we're talking about a case where this animal, our ben pakua animal, and remember, we're talking about a special ben pakua where a leg of it is going to be aser because the leg was out during the shechita. So this ben pakua father has relations with a regular animal. Ma'ir yahai di isbe iser yotze afilu ben pakua da amanami. So the Gemara says, you don't have to be so complex about the question. You could just ask about a simple question of ben pakua having relations with a quote-unquote regular cow and having a child. Why is that already a good question? Because if you have a child that's produced, father's a ben pakua, mother's quote-unquote regular, just a normal cow. Okay, the child, the offspring, you don't know what to do. Meaning you don't know how to shecht it. Okay, now this is interesting. Think about it. It requires really a lot of thought. You see, because dad doesn't need a shechita, at least on a Torah level. So dad, you could just open up and start eating it. I mean, you have to kill it first, Avram and Achai. Mom requires a shechita. Now, let's assume Choshen Lazera Av, I told you, it's subject to a debate whether or not we consider paternity or we don't consider paternity at all. Let's assume that we do consider paternity. So now you have a child that is a cross between a father who doesn't need shechita, mom who does need shechita. Rashi. Look at Rashi, Ein Lo Takana. Rashi writes, it's about 10 lines before the lines become wide, towards the lower than when we were on the Gemara. Shemitzar Aviv so from dad's side, no shechita is required. Therefore, its simanim is not. We don't even know how to describe it. The hapalge keshchut in damu. Rashi writes, the way we view the simanim is like it's already half shechted. Now, before we get to Rashi's next explanation. So the simanim are kind of like half shechted, okay? In the world of a windpipe, that's not a big deal, right? We talked about this earlier in the Masechta. So if the windpipe's half shechted, I guess that's okay, right? We can live with that. But the esophagus is like it's half shechted. That's problematic. I guess it's kind of like a trefa. Really hard to describe. It's not really a trefa. The simanim are there. But it's like it's half shechted because dad's simanim didn't require shechita. Inami Rashi gives another explanation. Havale bar simon echad ubehema tzricha rov shnayim. Or Rashi says it's more or less the same, but just a slightly different variation of how to look at this child. It only has one simon. Now again, biologically, it has both simanim. It has a trachea. It has an esophagus. It's physically unblemished. It's physically unflawed. But since dad didn't require shechita, mom did require shechita, it's as if dad's simanim didn't exist legally. And mom's simanim did exist. So now you put the two together, right? So you're taking the chromosomes of both, you're putting them together. And so now what you're going to end up with is, not genetically, but halachically, only one simon. Now Rashi doesn't say which one simon it is because we're not talking biology right now. We're talking in terms of halacha. Only one simon is there, and in order to shecht an animal, you need two simanim. I know this is tricky. This is really hard to fully digest and understand. But so the Gemara now wants to know, why are you giving me the complexity of a ben pakua that happens to have a leg that's aser, even if it's just a regular ben pakua who has a child together with a quote-unquote regular animal, the child's ain lo takana, there's nothing to do. You can't shech the child. Lotricha, second wide line of the Gemara, to Azal ben Pakur de Kavasei. So the Gemara says it was a perfect match. You made a shidduch between a ben pakua with an isser yotze, right, with a leg that's prohibited, together with another ben pakua with an isser yotze. Now, my. And now the Gemara wants to know, now that you found this perfect shidduch, right, how did you find such, everyone has a shidduch. Everybody has one. So now that you found this perfect shidduch, so now the Gemara wants to know, Aver molid Aver, v'chatech le v'share, odilma mevavel zare. When we look at a child, is it like a perfect match between what the parents have and what the child has? Now, generally speaking, of course, you'll see the children do resemble their parents. But the Gemara's question over here goes much deeper than that, meaning that if mom's leg was prohibited and dad's leg was prohibited, so if they're producing a child, the Gemara is entertaining the idea that maybe the child's leg is also going to be prohibited. It's almost like a perfect clone of what mom and dad were. Or the Gemara suggests, no. Meaning, once you produce a child, it's like you're taking all the mom and dad, you're kind of mixing it together, and you produce what you produce, but it's not a clone. It's not exactly what mom and dad is.
But the concept of Rove saying that since the majority of the father is not prohibited,
right?
Rove, so the child is not going to be affected.
Okay, Gemara is basically going to go with that, not use that kind of terminology, but the Gemara is basically going to go with that idea. Amar pshita de mevav zare, de imkein suma yolid suma, the kita yolid kita. So the Gemara over here is empirical, meaning, look, I'll take a blind father and a blind mother, I'll put the two together. We're talking about animals over here, but I'd venture to say the Gemara would be just as comfortable saying this with humans as well. You'll take blind and blind, you'll put them together, and the child could see. And you'll take a lame animal together with a lame animal, and the child can walk. So you see clearly, and this is empirical, you see clearly that you don't have an exact cloning of mom and dad to produce that child. So, elopshita de meval vazare. Okay, so there's bilbul. So there's a mixture. So now what's the question? V'hachi kami ba'ilei. Behema ba'am ala mikol chela v'dam ka'asya v'sharya. Hachinami loshna. Look, when you produce a child, so there's a mother and there's a father. Okay? I mean, we're not having the conversation now, but you understand. Right? It takes mom and dad. Now, both contained in mom and dad are always, meaning, let's leave the world of Ben Pakur for just a second. Mom has divrei isser inside of her, and so does dad. Meaning mom has blood and chalev, forbidden fats, coursing throughout her body, and dad has chalev and blood coursing throughout his body. And yet, what they're able to do is produce a child who's not totally usser, even though part of the composite of that child is isser that was provided by mom and isser that was provided by dad. Okay? So hachanami loshna. So maybe what we could say now is basically over here, so you want to throw a little bit more isser into mom and dad? Meaning, let's say mom and or dad, right, could go either way, have an isser yotze. One of the legs stuck out during its own mother shechita, and so therefore that limb is prohibited. It has a status of trefa. It's prohibited. Okay, so now basically all you're doing is you're adding a little more isser into the mix, into the composite, so now that when its child is produced, so it has a little more isser. But so what? Meaning somehow the chalev and dam, even though it went into the child from mom and dad, didn't produce a child that's kulo usser. So if we're going to add a little bit more, i.e. the isser of yotze, all right, so what?
So why not in the first case take the same leg off from the first case, because the second case, you're only taking the father's leg, you're not taking the one where the mother's leg came out.
Right. Well, the Gemara now is just viewing it like it's more or less the same question. It's just Gemara is having a different way of exploring the question. Meaning we're just now going to introduce another isser. We're ignoring chalev, we're ignoring dam every single time a baby's born. So the Gemara says, let's ignore the isser of yotze. Odilma treisur amin etatal armin. Or maybe there's a cap. The Gemara is suggesting now that we cap the amount of isser that can be allowed to go to the next generation, and it would be okay. Maybe caps, the quota is two isurim. i.e. chelev and dam. Now, by the way, why doesn't the Gemara, I'm asking the question, I don't know the answer. Why does the Gemara introduce get an usha? Meaning that's another elemental isser.
Every animal has it.
Every animal has chelev. Every animal has dam. Right. And I just, maybe, I don't know. I'm thinking that as well. Meaning, when the Gemara uses the number two, it's not a hard number. Meaning, just there's a right. There's more than one. There's more than two. But we, it's a known entity, whatever that number may be. And then once you introduce Yotzei, right? Okay. So is Armin and Tassel Armin of Laman? Okay, Ulaman. Good. Whew. It's not easy. These Gemaras are absolutely not easy. But again, the basic idea is there's a cap. And once you introduce a new Isser, i.e. the Isser of Yotzei, that just simply cannot tolerate. The child that comes out is going to be Usser. Uleman. Iler Rav Meir Isser Chelev Adam Ika Isser Yotzei Leika. Iler Rav Yehuda Isser Yotzei Ika Isser Chelev Leika. So the Gemara says, well, in order to really entertain this question, but entertain the question intelligently, so you got to be following another machlokus between Tanayim. Because whether or not the child that comes out is the child, in other words, the Ben Pakul altogether, is Usser or is Mutter, or I should say better, the limb that came out is going to be Usser or Mutter, so that's subject to a machlokus Tanayim. Now, we didn't see this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was pretty clear that that leg that comes out is going to be Usser, but as we're going to see in just a moment, that's subject to a machlokas. Okay? And also, in terms of the issue of chelev, that's also another machlokas. What's machlokas by chelev? Meaning chelev, the Torah says it's forbidden fats. That's usur. What's that issue over here? So listen to this. Very interesting. We talk about a fetus inside of the mother. That's the topic of the fourth parak. Yeshech the mother, you're allowed to eat the fetus. What are you allowed to eat of the fetus? Okay. So Ben already knows, he's been in the daf for a while. The answer is machlokas. But let's think about it for a moment. Let's pause and let's think about it. Right, what part of the fetus can you eat? You can make an argument that, look, the fetus right now inside is not an animal. It's part of the mother. It's just simply a limb of the mother. So when you're sitting down to eat a leg of the mother, you don't sit there and say, well, this part of the leg is okay, this part. No, in other words, you get to eat the whole leg. So one argument you can make is you get to eat the whole fetus. Even though right now in this developing fetus of the mother, you have forbidden fats, you have blood, you have Gidanasha. Okay, so one Tana's opinion is enjoy. Not the blood, okay, because the Gemara understands that the blood of the fetus and the blood of the mother are the same. But the chalev, go ahead, enjoy the chalev, right? Enjoy it. And one Tana's opinion is no. In other words, even though it's a limb, but you can't ignore the fact that it's still a fetus. In other words, it's an animal in of itself. I can't eat the chelev of an animal. Okay.
It's not an animal yet.
Right. It's a great, it really, I just, if you think about it conceptually, I can at the same time see both sides of the issue. It's great. It really is great. It's one of those machloks where I'm right in the middle of it. Okay. So, Ditnan. We learned that in Mishnah. Get a nashnog bishlo v'chalbo aser div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda Amir einog bishlo v'chalbo mutter. So good. So the Gemara introduces us now to this machlokas of whether or not I can eat the chelev of the fetus. So even when we're discussing this issue of chelev, chelev itself is subject to a debate. Ella, call me koach lo armina deshar. Okay. So the Gemara says, look. When we talk about koach over here means whatever is handed over from the parent to the child, we don't view it as, oh, well, the mother had an isser of yotzei, therefore, or the father had an isser of yotzei, therefore, it injects it into the child. So lo amrin, the Gemara says, we don't say it. V'hachi kami bailan. Ma'u ligmoa es chalbo. So, can I swallow the chalev? I'm sorry, chalav. Sorry. How about drinking of the chalav? So chalav da amalo ke'ever menachai dami v'sharei hainami lo shna. So the Gemara says, look, new version of the question. Milk. Okay? We touched on this a couple of days ago, right? In the beginning of Bechoros, the Gemara is going to discuss it more in depth. When I drink the milk of an animal, okay, it's really Eiver Menachai. What I'm consuming is part of a human animal. Now, as we know, Eiver Menachai...
It's an organ, it was an extract.
Okay. You're right. I'm just helping us understand the thought process of the Gemara. So when I drink milk, it's Eiver Menachai. It's a byproduct of an animal that is permitted. Now, Ben points out, well, maybe Eiver is only a limb, and not...
It's not a functioning organ of the body. That
okay, right. And Eiver usually means that. Okay, but the Gemara uses the terminology.
What?
Huh? If you drink the blood, it's blood of an animal is Eiver Menachai. Is that
blood has a function that milk doesn't.
Okay.
Blood functions in the body as a it's like it's almost its own organ.
All right, look, I hear him, but I'm just the Gemara is using the terminology, so we're gonna use the same terminology as well. So the Gemara says like this: so I drink milk of an animal. Now, of course, we do it every day. Okay, some more than others, but some are intolerant. So, but obviously we're comfortable drinking milk. Why? So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara and Bechoros discuss this more, but the simple explanation is we do, meaning we're allowed to drink milk. What is that based on? So the Gemara over here is actually giving analysis of why is it that we're allowed to drink milk? Is it because chalav da'ama lo ke'evar menachai da'ama? In general, chalav, milk is not considered evar menachai because v'shari hainami lo shna odilma hasam islay takanta li'isuri b'shchita. On one hand, the argument is, look, if I could drink milk of this cow, a regular cow, I could drink the milk of a cow that's a ben pakua. Why not? What's the difference? On the other hand, the milk of a regular cow, the cow itself, I will be able to eat one day. All I got to do is shecht it. The cow of this ben pakua, the ben pakua, there's no shechting. There's never shechting of such an animal. So, islay takanta leisur b'shchita hacha leislay takanta leisur b'shchita. So maybe over there by this ben pakua / yotze cow where I can't shecht it, and so if I can't shecht it, maybe the milk itself will never be permitted. Teiku. What the Gemara is entertaining is that what allows me to drink the milk of a regular cow is the fact that the cow itself ultimately will be permitted. Okay, it will be nishchat. And once I lose that ability of shechita, I'll lose that ability to drink the milk. Okay, that... Again, that requires a lot of thought. It requires a lot of analysis in terms of what's the relationship between the ability to shech the mother and the permissibility to drink the milk.
So because of a teiku, if there's a chumra with this, what is the chumra with ben pakua? You cannot drink its milk?
Right. Assuming, right. The Gemara's question over here is addressing a regular ben pakua or the offspring of?
No, but even a regular ben pakua. Can you drink
regular ben pakua, you see, but you can eat it, though.
I know, we can't drink its milk.
So then, based on this. Yeah, in other words, if you can eat it, so then you can drink its milk.
So it's the offspring of a ben pakua.
I guess the Gemara at this point now is discussing the offspring of our ben pakua and other and regular animal, where you can't shecht it, right? Ein lo takana was the Gemara's conclusion above. So now that I can't shecht it, so maybe I can't drink the milk. Okay. Well, let's continue. Chotech ma'ubar. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's remember what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah that began the fourth parak, Behema Makasha Lele, Bahotzi Ubras Yadov, Echzira Muta Bachila. So the first halacha now, which we spent a good amount of time talking about, was the limb that comes out and the limb that comes back in. Hotze is Rosha, Afa Pisha, Echzira, Harezi Kealot. And then the next halacha in the Mishnah is, well, once the head comes out, that's it, meaning it's born. So it no longer is ben pakua, now is yalud. It's a born animal. Even if it goes back into the animal, it's still considered born. Okay.
That's
absolutely the halacha, both by animals and by humans as well. Chotech me'ubar shebemeha mutter ba'achila. So what if you cut it up into pieces? Meaning, this is right now a mother who is having a difficult time. She's just having a difficult time giving birth, and fetus is just not coming out. Okay, so again, we're talking about animals right now. So the Mishnah says, well, what you could do is you can go inside to her womb, cut up the fetus into pieces, and then check the mother, and the fetus would be fine. It would be mutter to eat the fetus. Okay. And then the Mishnah goes on to contrast, you can't do that with other organs of the animal. Meaning, you can't cut off the spleen, you can't cut off the kidney, leave it inside her cavity, in her body cavity, shech the mother and eat those things. It doesn't work by other organs, but it does work by the fetus.
Cut the fetus and keep it in, and then do you take it out?
Yeah. So, yes.
Pretty true.
Okay. So, chotech mubar. Minalan dichsiv.
Why do you want to do that, though? I mean, if you do shechita, so you can have access to the fetus anytime.
Right. In other words, apparently, that's why, if you look back at the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah is very, very careful about the way it describes the case. It's behema mekasha leled, meaning it's not just a normal birth. Baby's just not coming out. There's some.
I understand, but so just do the shechita of the mother and then take the piece of the baby out.
Yeah, well, you're right.
You
don't have to. The Mishnah is just teaching us that. Unlike other organs of her body that need to be attached to her body, when it comes to the fetus, it's not necessary. The Mishnah here is not telling us a biological consideration, it's giving us a halachic consideration. That the fetus, even though it's actually detached from her body, but still contained in her body, is nitar. It's going to be permitted, ayideh shechita.
Weren't you going to save her from becoming a treifa?
Huh?
Weren't you going to save the mother from becoming a treifa by doing that under a very hard birth?
Yeah, in other words, right. In other words, at risk of, right. In other words, right now, perhaps the only way to save the whole scenario, to make anything, you know, salvageable, is to shecht. Okay. So let's start now. Chotech me'uba. Minalan. So the Gemara starts off now. How do I know this? Dechsiv, chol behema, mafresis parsa. Behema ba behema. Okay? You look carefully at the psukim, and the psukim over here is. Now, the Gemara is. We don't have a chumash here, do we? No. Yeah, is that a chumash?
Sitter.
Yeah, here, just. I'll tell you what. I know this sounds funny, but just give me your Gemara. Your Gemara quotes the whole pasuk. My Gemara's not that fancy. Okay. Okay. I'm going to read the whole pasuk now with Parshas Re'eh. V'chol behema mafresis parsa v'shosah shesa shtei prasos ma'al agera ba behema osato chelo. Okay, so contextually, the Torah here is just simply describing the kosher requirements of an animal. It needs to have split hooves. Thank you. It needs to have split hooves and it needs to chew its cud. Ma'al agera needs to bring its cud back up. Good. What the Gemara will now do in its classic Jewish format. Drush over here not meaning homiletics, drush over here meaning this is how we're going to expound the pasuk, is we're going to take the first mention of the word behema, we're going to take the second mention of the word behema. We're going to cut out those two words, we're going to put them side by side. You'll notice that the second time the Torah uses the word behema, it says ba behema. And so now that we do that, okay, so now it comes out that we're going to read behema, ba behema, an animal inside of an animal. And so via this method of Drush, we're now going to deduce that anytime you have an animal contained inside another animal, that's called the fetus. So you're going to allow to eat that animal. Let's see this inside. V'chol behema mafresis parsa. Behema ba behema l'rabos esavlad. Ela me'ata yamiru bo. So now you're telling me that the thing inside, I'm not trying to be cruel over here, but I'm just explaining to you how the Gemara is thinking right now. That thing inside of the mother is called the behema. That's what you're saying. In other words, via this drasha of behema ba behema, you're now identifying the thing as a full-fledged behema. Alama tanan. However, we get a sneak preview to Tamura. The Mishnah says, "Ein mamirim lo evarim beubrim, velo ubrim beevarim, velo evarim veubrim beshlemim, velo shlemim bahem." Okay, here's the story. Tamura, we all know, is an exchange of one animal for another animal, which, by the way, never works, meaning the exchange doesn't work. Kind of works, but not the exchange, meaning you sanctify this animal as a carbon. You look at this animal, you say to yourself, oh, no, I want to keep this animal, right? The animal looks really good. So what I want to do is I'm going to exchange the Kedusha from this animal to another animal, and you're thinking, look, in other realms of Kedusha, you could do that. Right, I transfer Kedusha, Meister Sheni. I can't transfer Kedusha of Shavias So over here, okay, same thing. I'll just transfer the Kedusha from this animal to the other animal. So the first thing the Torah tells you is, lo yamiranu, don't do it. Okay, it's a lav. And then the Torah goes on to say, v'im heimir, and if you do it, hu usmaraso yekodesh. It and the other are both going to be kadosh. Okay? And that is the parsha of Tmura, and that's what the Mishnah is describing. However, says the Mishnah, what you cannot do is you cannot affect Tmura from an animal to a fetus, from a fetus to an animal, from a limb to a fetus, from a fetus to a limb, from an animal to a fetus to a limb. In other words, to put it simply, animal to animal, and that's it. The Gemara is asking now, super technical question, which is, if what you're calling the thing inside, we know it's a fetus, right? It's a developing baby inside, in utero. But if what you're calling it halachically is a behemah, so then all the rules of Tamura should apply to it. Okay? So, Tanani Mamir and Behemah, right? That was all over. Sorry, let me just get to the end. Ela Amakra, Vachol Behemah, Laraba, Sesavlad. So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay? Meaning, it's such a good point that we can't, it's really not Behemah ba Behemah. That's not the Drasha. Okay? That's not the Drasha. So, what is the Drasha? Chol Behemah. The entirety of the animal. Kol is always a ribui. It always comes to include something. So the Gemara is assuming it's coming to include over here, fetus inside. Yeah, so good. So anything inside the animal, even if it's not physically connected to the animal, but as long as it's inside the animal, it's going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, okay, go back to the Mishnah. I'll ask you a very simple question. The spleen, the kidney. I cut them, I keep them inside, and the Mishnah says they're no good. They didn't receive a shechita via its mother because they weren't connected. But if the drush is kol behema, so it shouldn't matter what's inside. If it's anything inside, it should be permitted. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to focus now on the word osa. It. It has to be a unit, an entity. A spleen that's cut off, that's not a unit, that's an entity. That was an organ of the animal, which normally is connected to the animal, so not that. Same thing with the kidney. But with the fetus is, it's an entity, right? Of course it's connected to the mother, of course it gains nourishment from the mother, but it's an entity in of itself. So the Gemara says, fine. So any fetus inside should be permitted. Now, we already talked about mutated fetuses just yesterday, right? We talked about where the fetus that was developing inside did not have a split hoof. It was a mutation. The Gemara over here considers the following. Let's say what comes out of the mother was something that doesn't even look like an animal. It looks like a bird. Okay, now... It's correct. That's the simple way to explain it is seriously mutated. It's seriously deformed. It came out looking like a bird. Now, if the drasha is kol behema, and anything inside the animal, the only qualification we gave is that it has to be a unit, it has to be an entity, can't be a cut-off spleen, a cut-off kidney, but anything inside should be permitted. So even if that fetus inside is so deformed, so physically deformed, and it doesn't even look like an animal, it looks like a bird, it should be okay. Should be. Meanwhile, Alama am Rav Yochanan Ashochet is a behema umatza bat demosyon hasa ba'achila. Okay, so the Gemara says, meanwhile, Rav Yochanan says, and he says it, I mean, he's an Amora, it's not a Mishnah saying it, but still, he says that nobody argues that you cannot eat the fetus that is so deformed it doesn't even look like an animal, it looks like a bird. So the Gemara says, be'ina prasos v'leka, we are on the top now, samachtes amid beis. You're right. But we're going to make a distinction between how deformed it is. It needs hooves. Birds don't have hooves. In order for us to regard it as shechted via its mother, it needs some semblance of an animal. Elamiata kolab b'mei paro leitzer. So hatan de berei vishmal. So kolab b'mei. If it's kolot, if the hoof is fused together, meaning it's not split hooves, so it should be aser, meaning because Now we're saying that it has to at least have hooves, split hooves. So the Gemara says, "Hatan de Be'er Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Parsa be'behema tochelu." No, because even though it needs prosos, it doesn't need two. Meaning, even if it has one hoof, meaning, so the animal that comes out is deformed. It doesn't have split hooves, but it has one hoof, horse feet. Okay. Nevertheless, that's enough to identify as a parsa, even though it only has one, and so therefore you're allowed to eat it. Okay. That takes us now through the first approach. So again, how do I know that I'm allowed to eat an animal inside of another animal? Either behema ba behema, which the Gemara seems to just categorically reject, or kol behema. Rav Shimon bar Ashi amar lolam kedekamar mikar dekakashlach eim amirin. So the Rav Shimon bar Ashi tries to resurrect that first approach. First approach is behema ba behema. Now, why did we reject it? Because we didn't like it because it doesn't fit into our Temura model. Because in Temura, the Mishnah says very clearly, I can't affect Temura from a fetus to an animal, from an animal to a fetus. And meanwhile, the fetus inside is a behema. So Rav Shimon bar Ashi says, just because of Temura doesn't mean you have to reject it. La'olam kedekar mar mikar, kashala ein mamirin hamani Rabbi Shimon hi, demekish Temura la'maisa, ma'maisa eino noeg be'ivarim ve'ubrim, af Temura eino noheges be'ivarim ve'ubrim. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, Temura is out of the discussion, but not because it's not a behema. It is a behema. Its status is behema, but it's a different issue altogether. We're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, via another drasha, just simply says that a fetus is not in the world of Temura. Umana Temra did not. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yosef, alo ben mukdashim ha'omer ragla shalzu ola, ola kula ola, af kishiyamer regla shalzu tachazeh, zu te kula Temura tachteha. So Rav Yossi in the Mishnah in Temura makes the following argument. Look, I point to a leg of an animal and I say that's an ola. The entire animal becomes an ola, meaning the kedusha spreads to the rest of the animal. Says Rav Yossi, well, if that's true, and I'm going to affect Temura using just a leg or exchanging the kedusha to a leg, so the kedusha should apply even to an aver, even to a limb. So now that is Rav Yossi's argument. Laman kamahadale. The Gemara over here says, who's he talking to? Meaning, obviously, he's arguing with somebody. He's trying to make a point to somebody. Who's his audience? Look, his audience can't be Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda because he's making an argument based on something you already agreed to. So he has to be talking to somebody who's basically on the same page. Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are not on his page. Because we learned in a brisa, Yachlo Amar Ragla Shuzu Ola Te Kula Ola Tamolam Mekala Sher Yitei Mimenu LaHashem Yekodesh Mimenu Kodesh Velo Kula Kodesh. So, the opinion of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is that if I sanctify just a leg of an animal as a karbon, only the leg has kedusha; the rest of the animal does not have kedusha. That's strange, but look, we've spent the day talking about strange things. We spent today talking about how a leg of an animal could be usher. And the rest of the animal be mutter. So here, fine. So the leg of an animal has kedushas carbon, and the rest of the animal does not have kedushas carbon. It is, meaning that's exactly what's going to happen according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. The leg has kedushas carbon; the rest of the animal does not. Ha ketzad. So now, what do you do? Right? What do you do? So timakal etzarche olus v'dameh chulin. So what you're going to do is you're going to sell the animal as a carbon. You don't have to sell the leg because the leg already is a carbon. Okay. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Amrim, Minay Lamer, Ragla Shozu, Ola Te Kula, Ola Tam Lamer, Yiyah, La Rabba says Kula. So, and then Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon are of the opinion that no. That once you designate the leg as an ola, the entire animal becomes an ola. So now you see that Rav Yosef and Rav Shimon subscribe to this idea that leg has kedusha, it spreads throughout the rest of the body. Now in the world of Temura, so if I want to affect Temura using a leg, so now you understand Rav Yosef is making the following argument. Well, if I do it to the animal itself, the whole animal becomes kadosh. If I did it via Temura, shouldn't the recipient animal become kadosh? So who is he talking to? Laman. Either Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Mi Yisrael, L'Hai Svara. He's not talking to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda because they didn't even agree with the starting point. Alav le Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says he's talking to Rabbi Shimon. So now that we're going to assume that he's talking to Rabbi Shimon, so good. So you see that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to this idea that a limb, an aver, could an aver could create an entire animal into a carbon, but not through Tamura. Meaning Rabbi Yossi's trying to persuade Rabbi Shimon. So you see that according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't work through Tamura. So the Gemara now it's a somewhat complex argument, but if you're following the logic of the argument, so good. So now that we know that Rabbi Shimon says that you can't affect Tamura with a limb, the same thing is true with an Uber as well. You can't affect Tamura with via an Uber or to an Uber. So the Gemara says, lo, it's not your argument, although it's good, it's not absolutely conclusive. You know, Rabbi Yossi, he could be talking to somebody else. Meaning, I know he's not talking to Rav Meir, I know he's not talking to Rav Yehuda. You made the argument he's talking to Rabbi Shimon. There could be another audience to him. You know who would that be?
Himself.
Right. Rabbi Yossi, Taima Danaf Sheikama. Maybe based on what he believes, he's now trying to advance the argument, he's convincing himself. Okay. We start the next Mishnah, and the next Mishnah is going to add one wrinkle in this whole discussion. Let's say it's his firstborn. Okay, so we have now an animal giving birth, having trouble, difficulty giving birth, and we now talked about shechting the mother, the ability to eat the fetus inside. One of two drushas now we know. Behema ba behema, that's one drusha, or kol behema, everything within the animal. You're allowed to eat the fetus inside. Here the Mishnah is going to provide the following wrinkle. What if this fetus now is a bechor? Okay, so let's quick introduction. We know that when you have a firstborn, so that firstborn animal, so the firstborn animal has a kedusha. Kedusha so meirechem. The kedusha is congenital. Now that does not mean that when the fetus is actually inside, the fetus has kedusha. Not yet. But when the fetus is born and comes into the world, so the fetus now will have kedushas bechor. And that means now that the bechor is given over to a kohen. Kohen brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, shechs it as a shlamim. He gets to sit down with his family and enjoy the bechor animal. So the Mishnah now describes hamivakeres. This is her firstborn. Hamikasha leleid, and she's having difficulty. It's not coming out. Mechatech ever umashlech leklavim. So what you can do now is that you can go inside to her womb, into her uterus, and you can cut up the fetus into pieces, take out a piece, and hand it to the caliph, hand it to the dog. Now, we understand, if the fetus in utero had kedusha, you would not be allowed to give it to a dog. Obviously, at what point precisely does it have kedusha? The moment that it's born. What's the definition of birth? Right, very good. Either the head comes out, or the majority of the animal comes out.
The second birth, if she had the second birth like normally, would that be really considered a bechor since this is not...
Just wait 1 second, because the Mishnah is going to address your very question. But once the majority of the fetus comes out, and that's a totally different story. Now this fetus, right, although not wasn't viable, but was the bechor, has a kedusha. Yikaver, so now you cannot feed it to your dog. You cannot get any benefit from it. It is now was a carbon. It was a bechor. So yikaver, you have to bury it. V'nifteres min habechor. And then the Mishnah says that she has a child subsequent. The child subsequent is going to be potter. Will be exempt from the kedushas bechor. Itmar. The Gemara starts off now with an even more detailed discussion. Yatsa shlish umachulah v'kochavim. Okay. Let's say a third of the fetus comes out. Okay, so now it's not the majority. It's less than the majority. We're now dealing with only 33%. It comes out and you say to your non-Jewish friend, here, let me sell you this first third of the animal. It's a firstborn. But not yet, because the majority has not come out. I'll sell you 33%.
It's not
trying
to die. They can do that.
Okay, so just 1 second. Acher. And then the next 33% comes out. Okay. Rav Huna Amar Kadosh. So Rav Huna says the fetus has kedusha. Right. Because it's the bechor. It's the firstborn. And the majority of it was born. And so therefore has Kedusha. Rabba Amar Eino Kadosh. And Rabba says, no, no, not the case. It does not have Kedusha. Ravuna Amar Kadosh Kasava Lamafreya Kadosh Vekema Danafek Le Ruba Iglai Milsa Lamafreya Demikara Have Kadosh Umay De Zavin Lo Klum Zavin. So the argument of Ravuna is, look, when the majority ultimately comes out, so that means it's a Bechor. And it doesn't mean that it's a Bechor now, but Limafreya, but retroactively. Meaning from the moment that it started coming out, we're now going to call it Bechor. Okay? This is Lamafreya talk. Okay? It's fascinating. It's just interesting discussion of the Gemara. Look, if we go forward, the moment that part of it emerges, it doesn't have Kiddush yet, because it's not considered born. When the majority comes out now, it's considered born. That's going forward. Lemafreya allows us now to move backwards and say, well, now that the majority comes out, and now that it's a Bechor, so now we're able to look at it in the reverse and say, okay, it has Kedushas Bechor now. That means that we can go backwards and say the moment that it started emerging, it had Kedushas Bechor. As such, if we're able to look at it in both directions, both forwards and backwards, as such, so that means it was no sale. You can only sell something that you own. Right, right. Okay, I mean, right, basically, I think we're saying the same thing, right? It's not yours to sell. It's Kedushas Bechor. So because Rav Huna is able to look at it both at the end when the majority comes out as a Bechor, and Lemafreya retroactively from the moment that emerges, it also has a Bechor, so Rav Huna's conclusion is just purely, it's purely correct, assuming you can look at it both ways.
But if the leg was cut off, the Bamun could be offered as a Bechor.
Okay, so wait. So Rabba Amar Einu Kadosh Kasavra Mikanu La'aba Kadosh Umay Dezavin Shapir Zavin. And Rabba will say to you, no, it does not have Kedushas Bechor because we don't look Lamafreya. And so therefore, when the first third come out, it's 33% of it came out. It did not yet receive Kedushas Bechor. Consequently, it's yours. You can sell it. Now, we're not discussing right now whether or not you did the right thing. Perhaps you did not do the right thing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the effectiveness of the action. And since at that point in time, 33% is yours, so its effectiveness is valid. And so therefore it's sold. And so therefore, even though when the majority comes out, you normally would say it's Bechor, but some of it's not yours. It's owned in partnership between you and a non-Jew. Okay. We'll have to stop over here. The time is late. Tomorrow I'll make a concerted effort to catch up. The daf tomorrow a little bit shorter. Today's daf was both longer and difficult. A lot of difficult concepts coming up in today's daf regarding the fetus and how to view this fetus. Okay? More discussion today about the yotze, the limb that came out, the status of trefa. We tried to investigate today what happens to that next generation that it produces. Does it also get the Ister of Yotzei? We talked about maybe drinking the milk of such an animal, whether that's okay. And then we moved on to a discussion today about firstborn and Bechor. And tomorrow, a little bit more discussion about how to view the Bechor and at what point exactly does it get the Kedushas Bechor.